Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Get it.
All right.
Talking sports with the 12th man is officially kicking off. I hope everyone, America, did your civic duty today. Got out there and voted. I know I did. Got my little ticker, all that fun stuff. Man, beautiful thing. We got a lot of things to discuss, gentlemen. It's been a crazy couple of days. Reaction Tuesday, if you will, November the 8th, Election Day. And there's going to be a lot of things going down that I'm going to have to put an end to as we make some votes here, because I don't know what the Sam deal is happening, really, on a lot of things, too. But we got some amazing fellows to talk about these topics. Again, prayers for Curtis and all that good jazz, as always. But let's jump into this. Let's check in with the fellows, as always. Mr. JQ, how you feeling, sir?
I'm good. You know, it's a little bit of a tough day for me. Today would have been my dad's birthday. I'm just trying to keep everything going and keep it in check. Calling check in with my aunt, who is my dad's twin. But she's doing good, but she's going to be doing today, you know what I mean? So great, fantastic sports weekend, but today just one of those days I knew was coming that I had to, you know, get my mind around. And make sure I was good, but, you know, I feel like I did a pretty good job with it today. So, I'm good, man. I'm ready to talk some sports.
Gotcha. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, praying for you, JQ. Hold it together, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
That's why we're here, talking through these, you know, situations. And I know it's become more than just sports talk. It's become like family, too. So, that's something that I hope legitimately you guys feel that way for sure. So, me and Rob had a fantastic week and can't wait to recap that, too. So it's been a minute. So we had some great times. We'll talk about that as well. I joke, I kid about some fun things, but Rob, legitimately, I really had a good time with you, man. So how you feeling this evening, man?
Man, doing great, man. Appreciate you coming out, making the trip. Unique experience going to Notre Dame this past weekend. I tell you what, it was an electric atmosphere, man. You know, I didn't really have a dog in the fight in the game. Just wanted to go for the experience, and there was it was, you know, definitely quite an experience going to the game.
What's going on, man?
JQ, face the Catholics, man. We can't wait for you to jump on.
Let's go.
Surprise for you too when you jump on too.
Hey.
So.
Yeah, we got your mugs for you too, man. For you and your wife, man. You get our early Christmas gifts for you.
Hey, listen, that helped Ohio State in a big way. Them winning that game puts them back in the rankings. It helped Ohio State switch the schedule. So I was definitely rooting for Notre Dame in that game. I didn't realize it was going to be like that, but, yeah, I'm glad it happened.
Yeah. I tell you what, Notre Dame got off to a rough start this year, starting off the season 0-2. But, man, they've won 6 out of the last 7. Marcus Freeman has really turned that ship around. They're playing outstanding defense. And you know, the interesting thing about that game, too, is, man, Clemson's got a few first-round picks on that defensive line, and Notre Dame's offensive line just whipped them in the trenches. Man, they were running the ball down Clemson's throat. I mean, Notre Dame quarterback couldn't complete a pass more than 5 yards down the field. They were just running the ball. They were just running the ball down Clemson's throat.
It was like run left, run right, and then we're like, come on. And then Clemson played, so all the Clemson fans there, they were like, this is bullshit. They're so pissed.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen that. That was fantastic.
The whole, like, half the section that was all Clemson, they're all quiet. There's nothing going on over there. It was just like all Notre Dame
But the
fans.
Good thing for Notre Dame
it was,
is
it was great.
Clemson's quarterback couldn't complete anything more than a screen pass either. So, I mean, that was, you know, the good thing. That was a bad quarterbacking in that game, I tell you what. But Notre Dame, they, like I said, they dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. And so they've really improved after the 0-2 start this year. They just flat out whipped Clemson in the trenches there. The fans in Notre Dame were giving me a hard time for wearing LSU gear. Not so much that they hate LSU, but they hate the fact that Brian Kelly left them to go to LSU. So fans around the fans
like,
around us
Alabama,
cheer for
Alabama.
Alabama. Yeah,
like not because we went out, we just hated Brian Kelly left us. I'm like, oh man. There's a lot of, nice. Folks that were go LSU. It was hilarious. So Rob got his wish. We were driving home and Rob's yelling on the way in the car. It was it was classic, you know. So we had a fun. We had a fun time for sure. So
I enjoyed driving. He said he couldn't beat Alabama with Notre Dame players. So that's the reason why he went to LSU.
The irony.
Yeah, and this is not even the most talented LSU roster either.
Wow. Yeah. Good stuff. Gary, finally on you, man. How you feeling this evening, sir?
You know, I was just enjoying your weekend. That sounded great. I'm doing all right. I'm here at home, and my wife's over with Curtis tonight, so I had to stay home, and so I'm here so I can have a glass of wine. I'm not driving. I'm at home, so I'm happy.
Ooh, man, I need to join you. Maybe I'll go pour me a glass.
What's that?
I said, maybe I need to go pour me a glass.
Yeah, you do. An Argentine Malmac is what I'm drinking tonight.
Let me go see what I can find in here.
Especially after these election results, maybe we all should have something to drink, too, because some of these situations are crazy. Yeah, but it's been interesting, so especially in Georgia. Yeah. I don't know what the hell is happening over here. Anyway.
Man, what happened in Georgia, man?
Sorry, JQ.
Did y'all go out to the polls?
What the hell? Yeah,
I already voted, bro.
Voted
so,
early.
Yeah.
I voted early. Yeah, I voted Thursday. Me and Marcia did, so we knocked that out. Yeah.
Yeah, I voted. We vote by mail out here, and I voted a week ago. About a week ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I early voted last Thursday too.
Yeah, we were talking about that. We didn't want to get caught in the crowd or anything. And actually, if you got it early, you avoided some of that stuff, but still, it's just been crazy. Like, I don't know how they can predict stuff whenever stuff is still coming in, but that's just me. It's just like, what the hell, you know? So I'm just anyway. But we're gonna talk some sports and get our mind off of that. It sounds like Rob is definitely pouring a glass and getting toasting to Gary. So let's get this party started. There's a lot of things to discuss.
I found some white wine here.
And I guess we're going to start out with you, Gary, and kind of talking about the top five NFL teams that you have, and we'll see if your bias will come through or not. But what say you as far as your top five NFL teams, if you will?
Well, the first thing I want to say is, JQ is an influencer.
He is.
To me, he's an influencer. So I'm going with the Bengals in the number one spot. Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, so Bengals are on the right track, but they're not in the number one spot. Sorry, I thought I'd throw that out there. You know, but he is an influencer because last week, you know, I didn't put the Eagles in the number one spot out of my hatred, and I listened to what JQ had to say, as I always do, and I should have got the red rocket, and so should Rob have done the same. I put the Eagles in
I've
the number
never
one
believed
spot.
Them. That's the difference.
okay, so here's my five. I've got the Eagles in the number one spot. I've got the Chiefs in the number two spot. I've got the Cowboys in the number three spot because I think they can beat the Vikings, like I said last week. So I've got the Vikings in the fourth spot. Now you have the Bills in the fifth spot because of the injury to their quarterback. I'm not trusting him right now with his, you know, with his elbow injury. So I've got the Bills now in the fifth spot. So that's my take on the top five. What do you got?
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I obviously have the Eagles back at number one too.
Yeah.
Sorry. But I didn't drop the Bills. I mean, obviously, this Josh Allen elbow situation is something to watch. And it's definitely concerning if you're the Bills. But until we get further information, I still got the Bills at the number two spot. I still think they're the best team in the AFC. And I think we just got to realize that this Jets team is a much improved football team. And Robert Saleh's done a tremendous job, particularly on the defensive end. Sauce Gardner has been flat-out outstanding. And he's probably a leading candidate for Defensive Rookie of the Year. And probably a candidate for one of the top defensive players overall in the league. He's just been outstanding as a rookie for the Jets. Obviously, the Jets got a huge blow. Sheldon Rankin's going to possibly be out 4 to 6 weeks. But Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner has been outstanding for the Jets. But I still got the Bills in the number two spot. I have the Vikings at number three. I mean, they're 7-1. Only loss was a huge loss to the Eagles. The Chiefs, I got them at 6-2. And I have the Cowboys at number five at 6-2 as well. So that's my five. The Chiefs, they've had some close calls and some physical teams, but they managed to pull it out over the Titans, so you got to give them credit for that. But I have them in number four spot behind the Vikings and above the Cowboys.
Give me your five again, Gary. One more time.
Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys, Vikings, Bills.
I like the first four. The Bills, I hold a little reserve judgment on it, and we talked about it. They're so dependent on Josh Allen. I didn't like the trades they made because I felt like they gave up Zach Moss, who was more of a thumper, and they got Hines from Indianapolis. He looks just like Cook and Singletary, and it got some exposed. They can't run the ball the way they should be able to run the ball with his arm talent, their wide receivers, and their defense. They should be able to, in points of a game, be able to run the ball, and they just can't do it. And I got concerns about that UCL because he hurt that elbow, I think, a couple of years ago. Listen, I don't want to say it, but I got to put the Ravens in there at number five. No, it's not easy to go play in New Orleans. I understand that it wasn't aesthetically pleasing, but you saw what Lamar Jackson did when he had opportunity, get loose, not getting sacked, making plays down the field. You also had Mark Andrews hurt. And then I looked at that schedule coming out of that bye. It was Jacksonville, Carolina, Pittsburgh, and Denver. They can come out of that bye and go 4-0 and completely run away with the AFC North. And as a Bengals fan, I don't want to see that happen. But if they come out, that Roquan Smith trade is a big deal for them. They are playing much better on defense. If they do that and they jump from where they're at now, 6-3, and they go to 10-3, then we're having a whole different conversation about Baltimore in this, you know, top five piece. And I know I'm projecting. But I just, you know, if I was a Ravens fan, I would be so encouraged by what I would see happening. Deshaun Jackson, it was still a legitimate deep threat. I understand that. He got a bye week to get right. But those four games are made for them to be 10-3 going down a stretch run. So you don't know what's going to happen with Josh Allen's elbow. But I agree with your top four. I would just slide Baltimore in at five in that scenario. But it makes me concerned as a Bengals fan seeing Baltimore kind of start to take off. And again, I don't like them. They're my division, but Baltimore has a good owner. They have a good GM, assistant GM. They got a good head coach. They have a fantastic structure. They have an identity about what they want to do, and they never waver from it. And when you have a Lamar Jackson at quarterback, he'll always keep you in the game. I got to put the Ravens in at five, but I just want to tell you, I think as we go through these next couple of weeks, the Ravens are going to ascend in our rankings.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought about putting them in the top five as well. I was really impressed with them last night, just from a physicality standpoint. I mean, they just straight up whipped the Saints, man, on the line of scrimmage, on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And even though the Saints had a losing record, 3-5, I thought the Saints competed in every game this year. But last night I didn't see a team that competed with the Ravens at all. It was a total mismatch, like I said, on both sides of the football. I mean, a total mismatch. You got to give the Raiders a lot of credit. Defensively, they were fast. They were physical. The Saints left that game wounded and got guys hurt as well. Mm. I mean, just like I said, just totally, total domination. And sick to my stomach. I had to leave early in that game last night.
Well, you know, with Josh Allen, the eye test as we're watching these games, the Bills are keeping that real close to the vest as to what's going on with him. And he is a lot of their running attack. And if
he is the running attack.
And he lands on that. Right. And he lands on
that. And he don't fly.
You know, elbow or whatever is wrong with him. That's why I'm not so bullish on the Bills right now is because of him and his elbow. And they know that it, without him, you know, they're done. You know, they're done. So
agreed. What you just said lets me know if they had great results about his elbow, they would have announced it to the world.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It would have already come out there and say, yep, Josh Allen is good. Boom, we're going to keep this moving. The fact they haven't said anything yet, listen, this is an NFL team with access to everything available to them. The fact that it's been days, a couple of days now, and they haven't said anything, leads me to believe that Josh Allen's elbow is not as good as that. It's not really good. So I agree. That's why I said I feel like I had to put the Ravens in there, because the fact they haven't said anything leads me to believe that his elbow is not good. And he is the Bills running the attack.
Yeah, they have no
JT, you didn't have the Bills in your top five at all?
I am a six. Like, it was between me, it was the Ravens and the Bills. But, I mean, I get what the Bills can do, and they play a tough schedule, but it's hard for me to put them at five knowing that they're not going to probably be in the next week or next 2 weeks have Josh Allen. If you have him, then he's compromised, and then you don't run him as much, and then you're not as good of an offense because his running ability frees up the Diggs and the Gabe Davises from being able to take those deep shots, especially when his elbow is hurt like that, when he has that kind of arm talent. If he's compromised in that way, he's not going to throw the ball the way he wants to. And to Gary's point, he's not going to want to run the ball the way he wants to because he don't want to get it banged going into those pals. So that brings them down a level. But they're still a really good team. Don't get me wrong. But like you said, I was really impressed with the Ravens. They're starting to play old school Ravens defense, right? The hitting, smacking, rushing the quarterback, and then they're running the ball. Let Lamar get loose, dump it off, take a deep shot. They're going to be a problem. And then that schedule setting up so nice for them. I can legitimately see them being 10-3. And then you look at it and say, wow, we just totally discounted the Ravens. Now they end up being 10-3. I don't want that, given what I have on. You know I don't want that. But
right,
I got to be objective.
You got to call it like you see it.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's tough, too. Just kind of like piggyback on that, too, because you got to look at the Bills' schedule. They're going to play. They have a tough game versus the Vikings. And, you know, obviously the defense is going to be ready. Even though I hate Kirk Cousins, but they're 7-1, right? So you're like, damn, you know, you got to give them credit, right? They keep winning. Then they have the Browns. You know, the Browns have a great pass rush. So, again, you're kind of figuring it out, you know, what that plays out. Maybe they'll, you know, because they beat the Bengals, but, you know.
And the Browns can run the ball. And you can keep
Josh Allen on the pitch. Yeah, right. So that's the thing. Then, you know, the Lions, you know, that I can probably get the Lions. You know, Patriots, I can probably get the Patriots, you know. So a couple of things that you're looking at, too. And then they come back to the Jets, who just beat them. So what's that going to look like? Then they play the Dolphins, right, who, you know, again, same thing. So Dolphins, that's going to be a tough game. Go back to Chicago, you should get that, and then back to Cincinnati. And then, you know, again, it's a pretty tough schedule to back to the Patriots. So they have a unique schedule where you're trying to figure out, okay, can I get this game? So Josh Allen, you want him to be a little healthier coming into that too. So I agree with you, man. It's definitely tough. And the way Lamar Jackson just keeps winning. I know there's questions about him in the postseason, but – all he does is win, you know. Would you rather have him or Kyler Murray? Everyone's like, you know, you gave Kyler the contract, but then Lamar, all he does is win, guys. That's crazy, right? So
I rather have Lamar.
Kyler, since you had it setting up. Yeah, I'm the same. So just that's
well, he's
kind of
a winner, and
like
he's
that.
In the better organization, too. He's in the better organization,
sure.
better situation. As JQ mentioned earlier, in an organization that has a game plan, right, from the general manager, from the owner, all the way down to the head coach, they have the right pieces in place for them to be successful, right? And they go out and get a Raekwon Smith. He was an impact even in last night's game already.
Yep.
So they have what it takes to be successful. And, I mean, yeah, they're right there in the running for the AFC right now. You have to say that.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about a team that has no plan in a quick second with the Colts, man, because that's some bullshit, man. We're going to get that in a quick second. That's just a dumpster fire. Hey, Gary, exciting news for you if this is true. There's a tweet about Jerry Jones and how Odell Beckham will look good with the star on his helmet, man. So what say you about the news? Is it, you know, kind of like, you know, are you getting your feelings over there? What's going on?
Well, it's not etched in stone, but if he were to sign with the Cowboys, just for him specifically, not necessarily with the Cowboys, but to play in, you know, where – number one, he's not going to get a huge contract, so the tax structure is better in Texas than it would be in Kansas City or, in New York if he were to go to the Bills. Those are the other two teams that were interested in him. So he could play in a warmer climate, better tax structure. Okay. It just happens to be the Cowboys that is making some noise right now. We'll see if they ink him. You know, the Cowboys are not they're not big on bringing in these players like that. We saw the Rams do it, and they got a Super Bowl out of it. You know, I'm not big on, you know, CeeDee Lamb being the number one guy. With I think he's a great pass catcher at times, but some of the other things that he does, I think he's a really good number two. I'd like to see Odell Beckham Jr. come in and show this guy how to be a number one. He needs somebody in there, you know. So I think that would be fantastic if he does sign. I hope he does. We'll see. Where there's smoke, there's fire. So
the crazy thing about it is I think the Rams have played that way out of the OBJ sweepstakes. And then it's really, to me, it's going to come down to what does he find out about his intel with, you know, knowing Von Miller being on that Buffalo team in terms of what's really wrong with Josh Allen's elbow. Because if he finds out that, hey, Josh Allen's elbow is really not good, then that takes Buffalo out of it, I think, because he's just signing. At this point, he has his pick of the litter of some contenders. Green Bay is out, given what's happening with them. So to me, it comes down to the Cowboys, and it comes down to the Chiefs. And it's almost like it's a micro and a macro level of it, right? Because that AFC West, you know, the Chargers stole one here in Atlanta. The Chargers are really banged up also on defense. And the rest of them, the division, the Broncos are 3-5, the Raiders are 2-6. So, yeah, you can win the West and go with Patrick Mahomes. But to me, the AFC is tougher at large, right? Where the NFC is not tougher as a conference, but the NFC East itself is really tough. So he can go to the Cowboys, but then you're dealing with an undefeated Eagles team, and you got the Giants behind you still playing good ball. The Washington, you know, they're treading water, but I don't really see them making noise. You got those top three. So then you say, well, it's tough in our division, but if you look at the NFC as a whole, you're like, man, I can go to the Cowboys for that defense, and we can make noise. We're going to make the playoffs. So whether or not we win this NFC East because of Philadelphia, we're going to still be in it. If I go there with Dak, I agree with you. He and CD are 1A, 1B. I don't think CD is the number one at this point. I'm not going to say he can't get there, but I agree with you that he's not there quite yet. So you give him CD, you give Dak CD and OBJ, and Dalton Schultz, and the two-headed rushing attack, if you get a healthy, you know, Zeke back going to the playoff push for the Pollard, he's looking like, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be on TV all the time, like, eh.
Hey, you know, another key point in this situation, too, is that we got to point out is he's a pretty boy, right? And a pretty boy is going to want to be in Dallas, and he's going to want to be in Kansas City or Buffalo or Green Bay. I mean, he's not going to want to be in them cold weather cities, Kansas City, Green Bay, or Buffalo. He's a pretty boy, so he's going to want to be in that glamour kind of city. So he's going to want to be in Dallas with that star on his helmet.
It get cold in Dallas.
Huh?
It get cold in Dallas. Don't bullshit. It get cold. It don't get Green Bay cold, but it get cold in Dallas. You I've been in Dallas in the fall and winter. It gets cold.
I know I have too, but it's not as cold like it is in Kansas City
yeah,
and Green Bay and Buffalo.
Cold for long.
No, definitely not Buffalo. Buffalo's a whole different. Buffalo's a whole different animal.
Buffalo, Green Bay, cold.
No, I agree with that. But you'll wake up in Dallas one day on one of those crazy Mondays in December, and it'll be 31 degrees, and it'll be cold. Now, like, it ain't going to be in L.A. where it's 72 degrees all the time. So, but I think the Rams being so bad, they're taking themselves out of that running, is what I'm saying. So he's going to have to deal with a little bit of cold weather. He's going to have to deal with a lot of cold weather.
Yep. He's a pretty boy. He's going to want to be where that glamour lifestyle is, and he's going to want to be in Dallas over Kansas City, Green Bay, or Buffalo.
Well, I would say that you're dealing with cold weather or even cool weather as compared to frigid weather that they can get.
That's very funny. Yeah.
You know, really, definitely in Buffalo, or you can get frigid weather in Kansas City as well. I've been in Kansas City in frigid weather. And that's, you know, that can be harsh, too. So, I mean, that's what I would
do. But you also get Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce in Kansas City. And I know you love Dak, but Dak and Dalton Schultz are not Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. And, I mean, Juju's bulked up, and he's doing okay, but he can step right in behind Kelce in Kansas City. So,
if he can't be in the glamour market like New York or L.A., he's going to be in Dallas. That's why he didn't work out in Cleveland.
But he caught lightning in the bottle. He got the glamour situation with a really good team in L.A. He doesn't have that choice this year. So what do you do if you're OBJ? Like, I'd rather have Patrick Mahomes than Travis Kelce, but I get you. He's an LSU dude. He's a pretty boy, so he might want to be in Dallas. So I can see that as well.
I agree with you.
It comes down to those two.
If you want to win the championship and play with a better quarterback, you go play with Mahomes. But like I said, he wants that glamour lifestyle. He wants that pretty boy lifestyle. And you don't want to be on the cover of the magazines and all that kind of stuff. He's going to go to Dallas.
Haters.
Kansas City ain't going to offer that, man. Kansas City worried about needing barbecue.
Yeah, but that road in the KFC is much tougher, I think, than the road is in the NFC. Caveat, healthy Josh Allen.
Hey, speaking of cold, man, me and Rob, man, that was freaking cold up in South Bend, man. I don't know if they were drinking because, like, we were like,
The answer is yes.
A lot of folks, like, they were like, in,
Andre
yeah,
couldn't take it
no more.
Like,
we were like,
can we leave in the early part of the fourth quarter? Andre
couldn't
take it.
No, we both, man. No, don't put it on me. We were both like, man, if they score, it was 21. So we're like, man, they got the phone. Like, man, it's like, man, if they score, we got to leave. We were both right, man. We got to get out of this damn thing. We were ready for the third quarter. That was awesome.
Hey,
we were like,
y'all
out,
see how many mugs Andre has? That's how many cups of hot chocolate he has. That's why he got most.
Rob had the same amount of. Rob had two mugs too. We both had two hot chocolates. Don't front, man. That's why we got extra cups. We have four mugs. We both had two. Man, that shit was cool, man.
I believe it.
They were drinking. They were drinking so much. There was like, I smell like alcohol coming off. Man, what the hell?
Bro, they woke up drinking. It was a 7:30 game.
I know.
They woke up drinking.
I think Andre was shocked that the Catholics drank that much. I was like, man, shucks, man. New Orleans is full of Catholics, and they're the ones that drink the most.
I wasn't shocked. I was like, just like, there was like this garbage everywhere, like of all the cans. It was like, I was like, man, what the hell?
It's still a college football team. End of the day, still a college football team. That's how college stadiums for teams that think they're good get down.
It was a lot. I was like, what the shit? It was a lot. Like I said, it was just crazy, but it was fun. We know it was cold. That's why they were warm, because they've been drinking a lot. But it's all good. Let's talk about the next topic here. The question is going to be about the 49ers. Are they a Super Bowl contender with Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel? So this is the question, right? And the thing that I know with the Rams, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo had a great game, right, obviously. So, and that's the key right there. If Jimmy Garoppolo plays well, then the 49ers have a chance. And that's the problem. Like, that's the big if right now. You have great talent, but it's all about Jimmy Garoppolo. And they're the Rams. I mean, again, the 49ers have the Rams numbers in the division. They've always seemed to play well against them. So it's tough to kind of get a stake for this particular game. So, like I said, with Jimmy, I'm going to say no, because I just don't trust him, you know. But you got some talent. That defense is playing well. DeMarco Ryan is getting healthy again. So, you know, the defense can obviously step up. Then that's what's going to lead them. But, again, I just don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. That's just me. That's why they got rid of him, everything that happened. They just – you got to get a quarterback situation fixed, you know. So they said they figured it out, but it's the Rams. I don't really trust that game, you know. So that's my two cents on that one.
So here's my take on it, and I agree with you, Dre. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender for those reasons. Number one, they got injuries on defense. Number two, they got Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think they're a playoff contender. I think they are a playoff contender, but I don't think they are a Super Bowl contender. When I look at the NFC right now and I look at Super Bowl contenders, I look at the Eagles. I look at the Cowboys, and I look at the Vikings right now as the three teams that are probably Super Bowl contenders. I look at the 49ers as a playoff contender, a team that can make the playoffs.
Pretender.
And at best, maybe win one game at best. But I just don't think they are a team that can get to the Super Bowl just because of some of their deficiencies. But obviously McCaffrey and Debo are special talents, right? But, you know, with some of the deficiencies, on how long are you going to be able to hide those deficiencies from those injuries on defense? And how long are you going to be able to hide your quarterback situation, right? So I don't look at them as a Super Bowl contender. I look at them as a playoff contender. And now you got the Seahawks in that division too, right, who are leading the division.
Right.
And Kenneth Walker, he is running that rock. Man, he is running that rock.
Man, they got to be. Okay, so I hear what you're saying. It comes down to Garoppolo, and I get that. But the San Francisco defense and the special teams plays really good ball. But if you look at it, it depends on how it shakes out in the playoffs, because the NFC North, you can just couple that into this one, if the Vikings are bust, right? They got a four-game lead, a four-and-a-half-game lead in that division. The South is got Tampa Bay leading that division with a losing record. So, you know, you got one out of 18 across two divisions in the NFC you've got to worry about. I give you Seattle, but if you look at it, the 49ers are 3-0 in the division. So if they find a way to tie Seattle and get the tiebreaker, they can win that division. So now you're looking at the NFC East potentially having the Giants and the Cowboys play the Eagles with somebody in that first round, and they may cannibalize each other, right? So I think for that reason, the way that everything else is playing out around them in the NFC, that they are a Super Bowl contender for that particular reason. They've got weapons. You know, you're talking about Debo and Ayuk and McCaffrey and Kittle. If Garoppolo just don't come out there and do that crazy, they can ride those weapons and that defense and make a run. That's why I say that, because you have two divisions that only have one team out of the eight that are a factor, if we're going to be honest, as we're talking about right now. So I feel like you have to say that San Francisco, given what they've spent and what they're trying to do, I believe they are a Super Bowl contender in the NFC. That's the way the NFC is structured.
And I
would
agree with that as well.
Garoppolo can't go two straight games without doing something stupid.
I would agree with that as well. And here's why I would agree with that. It's like we talked about last week. What travels? Defense?
Defense and a running game.
And a run game. That's what travels. So if they can keep Garoppolo mistake-free. When they beat the Cowboys,
the problem is their defense is going to start to fade with those injuries.
He threw six passes, and they beat the Cowboys. So, you know, that's what they're going to have to do, is take it out of Garoppolo's hands. You know, Jimmy G isn't Jimmy G, like everybody was thinking when he came from, you know, what, the Patriots or whatever the hell he came from,
yep.
You know. Jimmy G is not the guy. You know, it's not a capital G, okay? So, and his head coach dislikes him. And they did everything in their power to get rid of this guy. But with that said, that defense, they're mean. That offensive line is good. So I think that they can. Unfortunately, I don't want them to. and I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I'm thinking that they can contend in the NFC. Because just like, you know, JQ, just like you said, you know, if the Cowboys, you know, or the Giants get matched up with the Eagles first round, those teams know each other really well. They're just gonna play reckless abandon. They're gonna just beat the living shit out of each other, and they're gonna go into the next game hurt, beat up, worse than they probably would if they were playing somebody else. That's why I give them a boxer's chance in that. I don't think they're a front runner, but I think if they can get a little momentum and keep the ball away from Jimmy G, you know, they got guys that can do it.
Yeah, but
McCaffrey can throw the ball.
Yeah.
We saw that, you know.
Oh, my God.
Debo, they can put him in so many different, you know, scenarios, and that's what Shanahan does best, is put those guys in the right place. That's what's scary. I hate the Niners, so I hope they lose the rest of their games. And I hope both of those guys end up getting injured. Go ahead.
Oh, man.
Scary.
So if the NFC, if the season ended today, the way the playoffs will shake out right now, the 49ers will be the seventh seed. And they will be on the road against number two seed Vikings. Obviously, there's still a lot of football left to go. So the 49ers will be on the road at Minnesota. And
who would you say?
The number three. I'm picking the Vikings by field goal.
You're not going to pick Kirk Cousins to win that playoff game, you liar.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Jimmy Garoppolo either to win it.
It's like
on the road to Minnesota.
Okay.
In a hostile environment on the road.
Wait. So if you take Kirk Cousins out and Jimmy Garoppolo, say they're the same guy. So they cancel each other out. So you talk about all the rest of the Vikings roster versus all the rest of the 49ers roster. Who would you take?
I'm taking the Niners.
I'm taking the Niners if Joey Bosa and they had a healthy secondary. But right now, Bosa's not healthy, and his secondary's not healthy. So
well,
I'm taking
right
the Vikings.
Now.
No, right?
You said right now.
Yeah. I would agree with you. If the 49ers were healthy, I totally agree with you all. I'm taking the 49ers roster outside of those quarterbacks. I would totally agree. But when you look at the weapons, the Vikings got Thielen. They got Jefferson. They just got T.J. Hockenson. They got Delvin Cook. From a weapon standpoint offensively, they got just as many weapons as the 49ers do on offense, and they're healthy on defense. And so from that perspective, now if the 49ers was healthy, like I said, if we had a healthy Bosa, and you had a healthy secondary, then I'm totally in agreement with you. Right now, I just wonder how long can that defense hold up with those injuries that they have if they're going up against a legitimate offense. The 49ers don't have anybody right now that can slow down Justin Jefferson. You can forget it.
Yep.
No one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That can slow down Justin
too.
Jefferson. Now, I think it's a close game.
They can.
I think it's a close game, but I would give the Vikings a slight edge at home in that 2-7 matchup. Now you look at the 3-6 matchup.
Like a 5-3
would
game?
Be the 3-6 would be I think it would score a few more points than that. But, I mean, you said how many points the Falcons put up on the 49ers a few weeks ago? Well, you score like 28 or 31 points on them?
31.
The Rams offense is not the same. The Rams can't block none of us from getting to Matthew Stafford.
Stop it.
Man, Gary would have about 3 or 4 sacks. JQ would have about 7 sacks. I mean, come on, man. They can't block us from getting this quarterback, man. So we're not going to talk about that 31-14.
I don't think you have more than me.
We'd be running all kind of stunts on that Ram offensive line, man. We'd be killing that.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
Man, come on.
Oh, man.
We ain't going to get overly hyped on that
49-31-14. Oh, man.
Oh, man. But,
I'm not saying that.
Score 20.
Yeah. And then you got the Seahawks in the three spot. They will be playing the Giants at number 6. I mean, we kind of just saw that game. I like the Seahawks.
Yep.
And then you got the the Tampa Bay Bucs at number four will be hosting Dallas. I like Dallas on the road against Tampa, right? So, I mean, I see what you guys are saying with the 49ers, but if they were healthy, I totally agree. Their roster maybe is slightly better than the Vikings. But with those two key pieces going on defense, I'm not so sure. If I'm wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong.
Not so fast.
I won't belabor it. I give you Jefferson. With Thielen's getting a little older, I think Jefferson's the better of the four, but I like the Ayuk Samuel pairing as much as I do with Thielen declining, even with an ascending Jefferson. I think Kittle was better than Hockenson, and I think that a healthy McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook is a little bit of a push. So I don't know. It's just that I feel like I've seen Seattle do it, and I've seen Minnesota blow it. So until I see Minnesota not blow it, I'm going to give San Francisco the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm. And they played against each other in the playoffs, but all those games have been in San Fran, too. So this would be interesting with the game being in Minnesota. Jimmy G in a hostile environment. I don't know about that.
See, Kirk Cousins can play in a home environment. He's still going to blow it.
they can take it out of quarterback's hands.
Oh, man.
But I think the problem is that you don't want to get a shootout. Like you said, we agree with you. You can run the ball, but if you get in a shootout, that's never becomes a problem because, you know, Jimmy G can't win no shootout or anything like that, too. So that's a problem, you know. So they're both turds, man. Like,
yeah.
Which one is the better turd, right? I don't even know, man. So.
Which one's the better turd?
That's how it is, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness gracious. I do want to talk about, I know we're going to skip some topics here, but we were talking about the 49ers. We should talk about the Vikings. We should be really quick about this because I want to talk about what happened with the Colts, if you don't mind, too. Are the Vikings legitimate contenders is the question. And again, I think we kind of talked about that. The question is it Kirk Cousins? And the same thing is like,
yeah. Hey, I can't say that. If I say we just dissected it. If I'm going to say the Vikings are one, and if I say the 49ers are one, I have to say the Vikings are one because they're really similar, given what we just talked about in terms of the makeup. If you take the quarterbacks out of the situation, so and given if both play in the NFC, if I'm going to say San Francisco is one, I got to say that Minnesota's one as well. I wouldn't put no money on it, but I mean, it's the same situation.
Yeah. Hey, I agree. Do I think they're a contender? Yes. Do I think they're the favorite right now? No. I mean, I would say the Eagles are the favorite. But do I think they're a contender? You know, sometimes you get in these playoff games, ball bounce the wrong way, one play, it didn't make a difference in the game, right? But do I think they're a contender? Yes. I mean, they got some weapons on that team. They got three or four weapons on offense. The offensive line is improved. Their defense is improved. So definitely a contender. I just wouldn't say they're the favorite right now.
No
shout
cash
out
on.
To really quickly.
Yeah,
Gary.
I would agree with
shout
that.
Out to...
I would agree with that. I would say that they're contenders if you're talking about those two teams. What it really is going to boil down to is just matchups where all these teams in the NFC end up,
mm-hmm.
and you know if you can stay away from that first round NFC matchup. For the NFC teams.
Shout out. Yeah.
I tell you what, though, Houston gave a blueprint, though, because they went in there and they ran the ball on Philadelphia. And I said, if you stay committed to that run game and you get a better team around than Houston has, Houston with Damian Pierce ran the ball on Philadelphia on that Thursday night. And I get you, Rob. It's a Thursday night game, so you got to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. But, man, if you're in the NFC, the San Francisco's and the Minnesota's of the world, And Seattle, we got to put them in there with Kenneth Walker. They look like they can be ran on. And that's your way to keep them in on the sideline. Yeah, and he ran hard. And it was a tight ball game at halftime.
The matchup.
Due to them running the ball.
Yeah.
He's a tough runner.
Yeah. So maybe you found some chicken in the armor for Philadelphia in that run game.
Thursday. Yeah, we get it. Really quickly, shout out to my guy, Jeff. Jeff is a he's a Giants fan. He's like, where's the love for my Giants, man? Again, I don't know if Jeff is just feeling it right now. He literally texted me. He's like, yo, you got to show some love for my Giants. I'm like, Jeff, all right, man. Y'all 6-2.
Hey, we said they're the 6th season in the NFC.
I know, but he was just like, you know, he was like, where's the love for my Giants? I'm like, Jeff, bro. he
it's not that. Well, they just come off a bye, and then all their games really come down to the end, and it feels like it's kind of like fluky how they keep winning. And you got to give them credit, though. They find a way to win close games, and good teams generally find a way to win close games. But they aren't really just putting a statement on people every week where you want to say, man, that Giants team is just – they just crushed them that week. So I think that's why they're getting a little bit less of the love. So I'm sorry for him. It's not any disrespect to the Giants. It's just, you know, more of a what have you done for me lately? They didn't play. And then, you know, they play a lot of really close games. They're finding a way to win, but they've not been overly impressive in the wins is what I would say.
JQ, he said that he
I think they've been flat out lucky in some games, and I'm not going to give them zero respect. So you tell your friend that's too bad, not on this show. The Giants suck ass, and that's just the way it goes.
No,
and we got a dumpster fire.
Wait,
Andre,
what did he say? We got to hear what he said again.
What did he say?
He said the Packers suck. The Bears are still trying to figure out who their quarterback is. The Commanders, I don't even talk about them. The Lions, what the shit? He's like, I don't want to talk about the Cowboys. He's like, it's all about the
good. You can't talk about the Cowboys.
Talk about the G-Man.
We'll kick your sorry ass.
That's what he said. Oh, man.
Oh, no. Chicago has found their quarterback. You can't say that no more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he was running the ball, but he still thinks they're going to get injured. Like, Justin's going to get injured if he keeps running the ball, you know. But we'll see.
Lamar Jackson runs the ball. Josh Allen runs the ball. Yeah. Like, until they figure out on the offensive side, like, they're finally running the offense that fits Justin Fields until they get more weapons.
I agree with that. I saw a good bit of that game in Chicago this past weekend, and Justin Fields actually reminded me a little bit of Lamar Jackson. I mean, he may only throw for 100-some yards passing. But, man, the other hand, close to over 100-some yards rushing. I really like
that dude
what he did.
Rushed for 178 yards as a quarterback. What?
Yeah.
That's crazy. 178?
Yeah. I think you're starting to see that. You're starting to see Justin Fields come around. I totally agree with that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's
the Bears
scary
are
as a quarterback
right
because he's that dual threat guy. And like you said, you know, he may throw for 100, 150 yards, but he can run for that too. I watched him against the Cowboys, and they were all over him in the backfield, and they had a hell of a time against that kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they really did. I mean,
he just hope
that,
we just hope that he protected himself too. Yeah.
I was really
impressed
with
him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's
talk about
nowhere this year. But you can see that he's developing though.
Yeah.
Oh God, that was funny, Jeff. Jeff, I'll hit you up later, Jeff. That's hilarious. Let's talk about he was just G-man, man. The Giants come out the woodwork, man. Let's talk about what happened with the Colts. This is just a crazy shit show. Jim Irsay, fired Frank Wright, obviously fired Marcus Spray, the OC. And you found out who the offense coordinator is. Like, he looks like he's 14. Something crazy. So you're looking at
what happened to the Rooney Rule?
I hate the fact I was going to say that.
That
he didn't get a chance to interview.
I know it don't.
Yeah,
but
I mean, we talked about that, but it's like, bro, you hired somebody, and we know that Jeff, he was a consultant. And he's saying, you know, supposedly the right stuff too, but what's happened to the Colts, man? This supposedly was one of the better teams. You just figured out, you insert – you know, I'm not even going to talk about Matt Ryan at this juncture. But you got to stop getting these old washed-up quarterbacks, man. So right now, you know, they're probably watching tape of every quarterback right now going to the draft because that's what they're going to be. That experiment is over, and I'm going to say two words, Drew Luck. Ever since Andrew Luck decided to walk away, they have never been the same organization. You thought that they had that solidified for 10-plus years, and once Andrew Luck got hurt, that destroyed that organization. They got to get it right. They got to find a franchise quarterback coming in. It's going to take some time. Supposedly, you had the offensive line. You got one of the greatest supposedly backs in Jonathan Taylor. I don't know what the problem is, man. So get the quarterback and supposedly get respectability. But it's a shit show right
now.
You talk about a great organization that went down. Go ahead.
You said it. The whole suck for Luck. You thought you were going to have Andrew Luck for 15, hopefully 15, 17 years. Him retiring early really set them back, and they've been scrambling ever since. And this is what I say for Indianapolis in their favor. They gave us Tony Dungy. They gave us Hallwell. So they have done their part here in recent history to try to get minority head coaches to be, and then, you know, Tony Dungy went to the Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl for him. So, like, I give him a little bit of it. But what's crazy is Jeff Saturday, no college head coach, no NFL coach. He coached Hebron. Hebron High School is literally 5 minutes from my house. With Jeff Saturday was coaching them in high school, and he gets that head coaching job. I feel like Dick Murphy has said, you know what, it's over for this year. I want a dude that knows our culture, that can impart the words of wisdom to this team. He's not going to be here probably long term, but get them back to the foundation of what I believe winning coach football is. It's Peyton Manning, it's Marvin Harrison, it's Reggie Wayne, it's Edgerrin James. He's been a part of all those teams. All those things they went through, and he can give them that benefit of that knowledge. I want him to get to this team. Even if he's not here next year, I want him to give that stuff now, and let's make coach build upon that. And that's all I can get Jim Irsay for. But I told you in the text message, Jim Irsay is hot with everybody in that building. When you go get a dude off NFL Live to be your head coach, who's never coached anywhere else, that means you don't trust anybody in the building to do anything right.
Better get ready. Somebody in the building is right. Somebody going to come and take one of us off of Talking Sports with a 12-man and going to be the head coach. So be ready.
You know how mad you have to be with everybody in the building. So, you know what? Hey, Jeff, you know, come up on the first school. I need you, bro. And like, well, wait, Reggie Wayne's a wide receiver coach. Like, you got dudes that have been head coaches in the building.
Reggie Wayne
is right
there.
To them. That's being mad with everybody in the building. So, hey, listen, you better rent and not buy in Indianapolis. And if you bought, you better sell that shit tomorrow because you got them.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, the interesting thing, I've never met Jeff Saturday, but based on everything that I hear, everybody says he's a very likable and knowledgeable guy. So, you know, so a lot of these coaches and players are probably going to maybe gravitate to him because everyone says he is that – he has the it factor. Like I said, I don't know him personally. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to watch. Do I expect much? Absolutely not. I mean, you got a guy who's not only – he's not even a quarterback's coach. He's the backup quarterback's coach. He's going to be calling plays. I mean, come on.
Call him. Hey.
So, yeah. So you bypass the quarterback's coach. You bypass Reggie Wayne, the wide receiver coach, to call a play. You get the backup quarterback coach, the backup quarterback coach.
Hey, man, what you doing?
To come in and – you might as well let Matt Ryan see call a play for Sam Ehlinger, right? I mean, come on.
Let's see if this works. I don't know. What are you doing? Oh, I've been trying this. Look at average.
I got nothing now. I got nothing.
It's terrible.
Bruh. He got me having a Madden thing. Hey, man, let's see here.
I told you.
So that owner's watching TV. That owner's watching through TV, and he says, "Oh yeah, hey, you want to be a coach? What do you think about coming down here? You know, I mean, really, that's kind of what it boiled down to."
He told you. Anybody that has any decision making in that building, he does not trust in or like. He said, "You the backup. You haven't had a chance. Come on, buddy, call some plays for me." Like, if you had any kind of influence in the building, he's like, y'all had y'all chance. It's over. That's what Jim Irsay has told me. So that means I told you, just go ahead and fill your stuff out now. You're done.
Yeah, well, you look at it, and I'm surprised they're keeping the GM, but maybe they need to keep the GM until the draft.
Yeah,
but,
GM's next.
Ballard. But the thing is, they sold him a bill of goods on Phillip Rivers. They sold him a bill of goods on Carson Wentz. He sold him a bill of goods on Matt Ryan, and they all have failed. And Jim Irsay is saying, hey, you know, you guys got to go.
And that's why I don't understand why you don't fire the GM. He's the dude that is supposed to have made those hires and those picks. How does he keep his job? Why would you trust him to go into your next draft? Wouldn't you want a fresh voice? Like, that's like, what does Ballard know that the rest of us don't know, that he keeps his job and everybody else loses their job? That, to me, is also the other wild part of it, because in theory, it's supposed to be the one that made all those decisions.
Well, like Andre likes to say, maybe he has pictures, and that's the thing he's got to remember.
He's got pictures, just like Andy Dalton's got. Andy Dalton has pictures as well, man, because why the hell – is James Woodson not playing, man. I'm just saying, man. What the hell? He's healthy.
You know why?
I don't get
and
it.
He's tossing over to a wide open guy. Like,
because if James Woodson plays, the Ravens win 45-3 as opposed to it being somewhat of a competitive game because James Woodson is going to throw the ball in the middle and go get it. That's why. Andy Dalton ain't going to do that. I'm not wrong. You know I'm not wrong. That dude threw 30 interceptions in a year. 30! We had a healthy Godwin and Evans threw 30 picks in a year. James Winston's going to throw the ball up for grabs, and then and New Orleans will see it. No, we ain't going to lose like that. We might lose, but we ain't going to lose like that. That's why I take from that.
Rob, what do you got on, what do you say to that?
It's hard for me to argue with it. I just know that our future quarterback is not on the team right now. That's all I can say.
He is not on the team at all.
Yeah.
I hope not. For your sake.
I think Winston is definitely the more talented guy. And
yes.
you would like to see the coaches be able to get the best out of him because the thing about Winston, he's gonna get the ball down the field. He's gonna make the defense, you know, open up the running game a little bit because they can't put eight guys in the box because we can't stretch the field. I just would like to see, I mean, right now you got a 3-6 football team. I would like to see them play the more talented guy and see if they can coach him up. And if it doesn't work, then say, hey, I mean, you're not going anywhere right now. I would rather you see, hey, play the talented guy, see if you can coach him up. I mean, when Sean Payton was there with him last year, I mean, he had 14 TDs and only 3 INTs. And can you get that? And then early in the year when Winston was playing, he was playing hurt. Now he's healthy. So I would like to see what they can do with him healthy and see if you can coach the more talented guy up. And to me, that would be more of a bigger challenge. Andy Dalton's not going to get you anywhere. I mean, I'm sorry. That was awful last night. Between his play at the quarterback position, and between the team's lack of effort last night, that was horrific.
James is crazy.
Three organizations on this call.
He's crazy. He's nuts. You hear all of James's press conferences when they interview him. James is nuts. He just says wild shit. So I can only imagine the stuff that he says in the meeting room. And Dennis Allen said, nah, bro. I can't do it.
We're going to eat a victory. We're going to eat this victory.
Yes. Exactly. He's just like that. They're just like,
we're going to eat this W. Yeah, I listened to the press conference leaving the game last night, and they asked Dennis Allen, did you ever think about changing quarterbacks in the game?
No.
I never thought about it.
He said no.
Wasn't watching the game?
But that tells you everything you need to know about what Jameis Winston is doing behind the scenes. He said that emphatically. Nope.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show. We had a lot of fun talking some good NFL smack talk on our show on tonight. Hey, next Tuesday night, we should be right back at you next Tuesday night. Oh, now I'm thinking about it. Oh, no, next Tuesday night we should be good. Next Tuesday night we should be back at you. East Coast, we want to hear from y'all. Philadelphia, 8-0. Buffalo, 6-2. Miami, 6-3. We want to hear from y'all on the East Coast, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Sorry ass Saints, we want to hear from y'all down in New Orleans on Central Time Zone. 10 p.m. Central Time Zone. The Bears, do y'all have your quarterback of the future? Dallas, I want to hear from y'all too on the Cowboys, Central Time Zone, 10 p.m., Mountain Time Zone, Utah Jazz. How in the hell are they in first place in the Western Conference in the NBA, man? They traded Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, I'm going to play the Lakers twice. But Salt Lake, I want to hear from y'all. You got a football team in the top 15, and you got the Jazz in the first place, and then on the West Coast. Man, I don't think the Clippers or the Lakers are in the top 8. We want to hear from y'all in Los Angeles. But you got USC and you got UCLA. So we want to hear from y'all in Hollywood, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good night, people.
Man, I got nothing. No
questions.
So bad.
Bobby, we want to hear from y'all in the World Cup, too.
Hey, listen, the Lakers is terrible. But at least they got the Pac-12. We've shitted on the Pac-12 football for 20 years now. That Pac-12 last 3 weeks is going to be very, very interesting for the college football playoff. Oregon, UCLA, USC, Utah. That those four round robin, I can't wait.
Yeah. Pac-12's kind of rebounded. You know, early in the season, we thought there was a bit of a joke. And but they've definitely bounced back and been playing some competitive football, so it should be interesting.
Shout out to Bo Nix.
Okay. I know. Playing good. He's in the right situation.
Wow, that came out of Jake Hughes' mouth.
Hey, man, Bo Nix is playing good ball now. If I talk no, about him, I got to give him his flowers when he's playing good ball. I ain't going to bet no money on it, but right now he's I'm just saying, I when you
hey,
I
mean,
say something like I did,
money on him.
Hey, listen, when I talked about him bad after the Georgia game, he's done nothing but play fantastic football for the University of Oregon. He's got them right there in the mix. So they got the chance to play themselves into it. I should say, honestly, that Pac-12 down the stretch is going to be great football. It's going to be an interesting theater to see how that plays out.
Yeah. Hey, you look at Bo Nix. And you look at Williams at USC and Dorian, what's the guy name of UCLA? Dorian Robinson? He's been in
Williams,
too.
Yeah.
The dude with three names and got all 26 letters in him. He's been playing well for UCLA, too. And then, of course, Utah, the guy, he's been solid, too, at the quarterback, Cameron Rising. So, yeah. Yeah, they got some decent quarterbacks in those four teams, too.
And they got to all fight each other, and then they got to play that conference game. Like, that's going to be fun. Like, we ruled them out. It's going to be fun this year, though. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That reminds me, Rob, whenever you pulled up the names about the Key and Peele episode, they had the football name. I'm going to take it to you guys.
Somewhere.
The East-West College Bowl.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Hey, if you haven't heard it, people go out and watch that clip. It's pretty good.
Oh, good stuff.
Hey, hey,
Rob. You my boy. You my boy. That was a substitute teacher. You my boy, Rob. But we do got to talk about the fact that you picked Tennessee to beat Georgia, man. I don't know, man. That was kind of a different situation, man. So I'm just saying, man.
Hey, I missed on that one. But, hey, I've got a good record all season. That's the only week I missed.
I give him that. He's had a good record all season.
I missed on that one. I mean, hey. Yeah, I clearly missed on that one.
We're like, I don't know. We don't know about that one, man. You're still my boy, man. That was good.
Hey. Let's part of it is I hate Georgia, and maybe I was hoping for the best, but, Georgia looks like they, you know, clearly the best team in the country. I was, you know, at work today, and some of the guys are like, man, LSU might be playing Georgia for the SEC championship game. I said, yeah, we might. You know, we can't look past Arkansas this weekend, but I said, LSU is not in Georgia's league. I'm sorry. I ain't making that mistake twice.
Yeah, no.
We might be there. We might be there in another year or two. But we're not there right now.
Good stuff. Good
y'all
stuff.
Still have a schedule there this year, though.
Yeah.
Let's talk about really quickly. I want to get to the predictions. But the surprise, not necessarily a surprise, but it's interesting in that the Raiders of Ken cut another number one pick. Austin Abrams was cut. So pretty much the whole class of the Mike Mayock, John Gruden era have been it's coming to an end. They have what? Cleveland Farrell and I think they have Josh Jacobs that have still left in that roster.
Jacobs.
They have not had their options picked up for the fifth year.
Do they still have Farrell?
So just talk about a complete this stuff. They're still
there,
but they haven't had their
okay.
Yeah. So you talk
their
about Clemson of the
up,
South.
Yeah.
They haven't had their options picked up from what I was just looking
at.
So
I have the list here. Let me see if I can find it. So yeah, they've cut Alex Leatherwood. They've caught Damon Arnett. They've caught Henry Ruggs III, and now Jonathan Abram. So, I mean, that's four first-round picks.
Well, easy.
Well, we know
Ruggs and Arnett cut
Henry
themselves.
Ruggs. Yeah.
They cut themselves. You just can't do what they did. It can be up to save. So I won't put that on them.
Yeah.
They had to cut them fools.
Yep. But yeah, another one, another first rounder that unfortunately that they've had to get rid of. Like, wow,
that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
You cleaning house. That showed you the disaster of what that was, and it pretty much goes that JQ, Gary, Rob, you guys can be better talent evaluators than Mike Mayock apparently, because that that dude is not running his organization well at all.
Wow.
They're
not even hiring him back on TV for all the bad picks he made.
You can't. He ain't got no credibility. You can't hire that.
That's what I'm saying. They're not,
even, objectively.
They're not even hiring him back on TV after the bad picks.
No. He can sit at the house and watch it on TV like us.
Oh,
he's done. He's done. Unless a new network starts up and they just need somebody like, hey, you. Like, yeah, no, man. He's right.
He's bringing credibility. He's bringing credibility. What you got, Gary?
I've got nothing. I've got nothing. Okay, I'll tell you what. I want to talk about something. I want to talk about your Mac Jones. Is he the quarterback? Is he the guy? Is he the guy? You know what? I think he is. I love what he's doing there. I absolutely love what Mac Jones is doing in New England. You know, he has 1,100 yards, four TDs, seven picks, the second worst rating. I think he is the answer. He is my answer for New England.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's,
Mac Jones for,
you know what?
For the next 10 years.
I wonder, you bring that up, you know, he's terrible. He doesn't have the arm strength, but I wonder if Bill Belichick will admit to being wrong and sit there with the ability to get one of these four or five quarterbacks that Rob has put in the first round. That would they pull the trigger, or would they go do something crazy like Bill does and says, I can win in spite of him. But they're winning in spite of him right now. Will they pull the trigger on one of those first round quarterbacks? That'd be interesting. But yeah, I agree with no, he's not the answer.
No, he's not the answer, and I agree. Actually, being honest with you, I was more impressed. I don't know if Zappy's the answer either, but I was a little bit more impressed with him than I was with Mac Jones. At least he had some zip on the football and getting it down the field. He had a little bit more moxie. Mac Jones looks like a deer in the headlights out there right now, man. He just looks timid, looks scared. I mean, I know they had a dominating win this past weekend in spite of him, but yeah, he just doesn't seem. I would if I was them, I would see what Zappy can do the rest of the season, and then you can start looking at maybe. Getting the quarterback this offseason, if you know, determine if Zappy's not the answer or not. Hey, you sat Drew Bledsoe for Tom Brady and it worked out. So, hey, I would take
that,
my shot with Zappy and
see
what
we got. That was pure luck. And Bill Belichick he thinks it's more about him than he does the guys, you know, than his players. And it's really not. You know, it's that talent of that raw talent of that quarterback. Yes, you can mold to a degree, but you have to have that talent there as well. And he has not been good in the draft room. Bill Belichick hasn't, especially at the skill positions. And you watch and see, I don't think he's going to take a first-round quarterback. I don't see him doing it. I see
what,
him
you know what,
Rob? First round.
You know
that?
What, though? We had the same conversation about Zach Wilson, and we all agreed that the Jets had to play Zach Wilson to see what they had. I think the Patriots have to play Mac Jones to see what they have and let the world see that he's either that guy or not that guy. I can't say in one hand you have to play Zach Wilson for the Jets to see what you got and then say, hey, you don't play Mac Jones. Both first-rounders, you got to see what they got before you give up on. That's all. Like, I don't know. They're sitting in the same position with both their quarterbacks.
Zach Wilson has talent. Mac Jones is like you out there, JQ.
That's the thing, JQ. You already saw what he did, man. He saw what he did last year, and like he got hurt.
But you use a top 10 pick on that dude. If you bench him now and you play Zappy to see what he has, you never go back to Mac Jones. You probably have lost Mac Jones. So if Zappy doesn't end up being that answer, you got two dudes on your roster who are not that answer, and you got to get a starter and a viable backup. Like, that's a tough place to be. I just don't know if you can do that. He's got to find out if he's in a rough patch or if he can figure himself out of it. I feel the same way about him I feel about Zach Wilson. I'm at least trying to be consistent with my evaluation.
Who's the starting wide receiver for the Patriots? Who's starting wide receiver for the Patriots? Who is the starting wide receiver for the Patriots?
And Aguilar. Okay. Myers to Aguilar and one other one.
Okay.
The dude they got from Miami.
Okay.
Parker?
Okay.
Devontae Parker?
Is that bringing – are you getting scared if you see that? Are you scared?
No, I'm not saying you're getting scared about it. Well, I'm just saying I agree. He hasn't done a great job in skill positions. But at some point, he's still not hitting them, though. But you got to find out. If you bench him right now, you probably have lost Mac Jones for this year. If you bench him right now, you don't go back to him. You can't go back to him if you're trying to get that second wild card spot and say, hey, Mac, I know I told you you wasn't shit, but come back off the bench and help us get the second wild card spot. Like, that's just not gonna work. I just don't think that's going to happen. So now you've got two quarterbacks that you put against each other, and they both haven't done a job. Now you don't have any quarterbacks. Now you got what?
Can you believe that team is 5-4?
Because of the defense, but agree. But if you do that, you both your quarterbacks. What do you do next year? You can't bring either of those two dudes back. That's a tough place to be.
Mm-hmm. Andy Dalton's always waiting for you. That's all we got to say, man.
Come on, man. I hope the hell he goes to New England, please.
Yes, I don't. I'm happy with what they got.
There's a lot of a lot of reclamation projects that Bill Belichick may try to do. You never know what that dude will be thinking. But I'm with you. Like, Mac Jones set the game pool back 50 years. I mean, he threw the ball 3 times, whatever, last year. That was terrible. Let's get to these predictions. And any last topics you guys want to talk to, we most certainly can.
The last topic.
There it is. So we'll start with the Seahawks at the Buccaneers. We'll go with you, Gary. Your thoughts on this particular – I know we got to get a kid to go to sleep. Let's go to this one. What do you think about this one, Gary?
You know, this is going to be a toss-up game. I think that I probably give the edge to the Buccaneers just because the Seahawks, you know, they got to travel across the country. And when you do that sort of thing, it's hard on them. So I give a slight edge to the Bucs. But I want the Seahawks.
They're in London.
They're in Germany. They're both in Germany. Okay, I'd like to revise that. Since both teams are traveling like that, I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
There
you
go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going with Seahawks.
Yeah, Jameis is playing well. No?
I am going with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Hey, man, listen. He's got that divorce finalized, and I'm just saying, I think that was a big old cloud hanging over him. I'm not saying it doesn't really have some remnants, but once you have it finalized, I feel like that was a big win for him to come back against the Rams. You know, that game set football back about 50 years, but he's going to be mad, but they're going to start to turn the corner. We're going to start talking more about Tampa Bay. I don't think the Bucs are going to see out on the upset in Germany.
I don't think they're going to maybe outscore Seattle. Seattle is scoring like almost 30-some points weekly. I know the Tampa Bay defense is getting some players back, and I don't see Seattle scoring 30 points on them, but I think they get 24-27, and I don't think Tampa Bay is going to be able to score that many points in this game. They're really struggling. Teams are not trusting Tom Brady as far as getting the ball down the field, so they're stacking a box, and the Bucs are struggling to run the football because of it. And I think that's going to be the challenge. Now, Seattle's defense is not the greatest, but they have improved as the season's gone along. So I'm going to go Seattle 27-21 in this one.
I just think the Bucs find a way to muck up the game. Cross the pond, everybody's time clock is off. That's great when you're used to doing east-west close time zone. You got to go to Germany. I think the Bucs just – there's no really great reason for it. I just feel like the Bucs find a way to get that game up and win another close game at the end. That's just me.
Yeah, you can never count out the refs cheating for Tom Brady, too. So you're right.
That is true.
Hate Tom Brady.
Sorry, I got Freaking all popped up now.
Man, Joker, I hate Tom Brady, man. I hate that dude, man.
Appreciate the cheating comments. That's nice. I like that. Well,
that's for you, Gary.
All right.
Really big game. We got the Vikings at the Bills. And, again, we're still talking about Josh Allen's health here. Is this the game? I think you kind of touched base on it around, so I'll start with you, Rob. We'll see you in this one.
I know it's kind of hard to predict until we get some further information on Josh Allen, but assuming Josh Allen is healthy enough to play, I'm going to go with the Bills at home. I still put the Bills as the second best team in the league ahead of the Vikings. And with the Bills being the home team in this one, I'm going to go with the Bills. I think the game's going to be a little closer than we think. I'm going to go 23-17 in a little bit of a low-scoring game. I think the Bills pull it for now.
Agreed. Josh Allen plays, Buffalo wins. Josh Allen doesn't play, Minnesota wins.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I would say about the game. This is a big game for the – this is the game of the week, really. And
yep.
For me,
by far,
because it's the game of the week, because it's going to be like a playoff atmosphere, Kirk Cousins is going to be in this game. Right. I'm going with the Bills.
I'm not bad.
I absolutely love Kirk Cousins. He's one of my favorite players. I think he's going to do his
thing. Dude, y'all talk bad about him every week, and he keep winning.
Keep winning.
Next game, Bills.
So he's absolutely your biggest favorite player next to Matt Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Bullshit. I can't.
Home jersey's on the wall right next to me.
Oh, my God.
Boston College and Michigan State right on the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about the Browns at the Dolphins. This is a pretty unique game, if you will. Dolphins, you know, they're coming back. So we kind of had them in the top five. Are they back is the question, too. And the Browns, you know, what say you? I'm going to throw it to you, KQ. This is your division here. What say you about this one?
I'm going to surprise you. I saw what the Bears were able to do running the ball against the Dolphins. And you're talking about that two-head monster with Chubb and Hunt. And then the key point is if they get Denzel Ward back to the quarterback. I mean, he's not necessarily a stopper all the way, but he can slow down either Waddle or Hill, make it more harder for him. But if I'm the Browns, the ability to run the ball, and you saw what the Bears just did to him, this is the Browns' season. They beat the Bengals when they had to have it. That means they have to beat the Dolphins to get back into it. I'm going to take the Browns on the road with the run game to upset the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real close football game. I think it's going to be a competitive game. I think the Browns make this a real physical game. But I'm going to steal one of JQ's old philosophies on this one. I'm going to go with the better quarterback here and go with Tua over Jacob, I forgot his
Brissett.
Name. Jacoby.
Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
Jacoby.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the Dolphins, but I do think this is a physical football game. I'm going to go 24-17 Miami.
Well, I do like that you always come up with the score as well, Rob.
Yeah.
And you're usually pretty close on that. I think because this is a game really that the Browns absolutely need, this is a big one for them, and they're the Cleveland Browns, and the better quarterback is in Miami. I'm going with Miami.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff, man.
24-17. Miami.
I'll be out here on my own.
I like the Dolphins. I like the Dolphins, too. Next game, you've got the Jaguars at the Chiefs.
Why is this on
schedule? I hope the Chiefs don't take this as a trap game. It should be the Chiefs all the way. The Jaguars lost. They beat the Colts, and they lost the Colts. They lost to Denver. I mean, they're schizophrenic as it is, man. The Chiefs should, like, mop the floor with the Jaguars. They should. I'm hoping that's the case. Rob,
yeah, I think we all picking the Chiefs on this one. We can move on to the next one.
Yeah,
Jake, Gary, you good? Gary got surprises for us.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's. That's it.
Rob's gonna stay for this. I know Rob always picks the home team, right? And coming off of a short week, the Falcons had a disappointing loss versus the Chargers. The Panthers think they should have won the game in Atlanta. They should have won the game besides DJ Moore's craziness. So as much as I would like for the Falcons, I don't know, man. This is, you know, I'd like for the Falcons to do some things, but I think the Panthers are going to have some, of course, man. So I would like to pick the Falcons, but I think the Panthers are going to be ready for it. So I'm going against my heart. I hope that it doesn't happen, but I know how you think, Rob. So go ahead, man.
That's that reverse psychology stuff, huh?
Exactly reverse psychology.
Hey, I know I have a Thursday night philosophy, but I would have picked the Eagles last week over the Texans, just so y'all know. I would not have picked the Texans over the Eagles last week. This is a toss-up game for me, though. I mean, Atlanta's, you know, it's a real short flight away from Charlotte. I mean, it's not like they're traveling a long way for this football game. And, I mean, Cincinnati beat the brakes off Carolina this past weekend. Was it 35-0 at halftime? Like, whoa. I mean, that could go either way. That could be a wake-up call for Carolina. But I'm going to go with Carolina in this one, 20-17. Same score the Falcons just lost by. I don't think they're going to have a shootout like they did a few weeks ago. I'm going to go 20-17, Charlotte in the nail biter, Carolina in the nail biter.
Man, because I watched some of that game, and, man, I don't know what Baker Mayfield was doing in the facility where Walker could come out there and have the first half that he had get benched and then get named the starter for this game against the Falcons, because he was super bad against Cincinnati, like really, really, really bad. I think Atlanta get Cordell Patterson back. They just gave that game away to the Chargers. I was in the building. I watched it. They were up to nothing. They just gave that game away. I don't know. It's just one of those games that we might want to turn off at halftime. But I give it. I'm going to go with Atlanta because I feel like if P.J. Walker plays like that again, then Jesus. I'm going to go with Atlanta just because I feel like this is a division that nobody wants. And I feel like Atlanta still feels like they can win it. And that Carolina defense didn't play great, and it's a short week. They're not going to have a lot of time to get everything fixed. I think Cordell Patterson makes a difference in this game. I'm going with Atlanta.
Well, the only thing I would say on this is I don't have a horse in this race. So with that said, as we talked earlier when we first got on that, you know, how we care about each other and – you know, we feel like we're extended family. You know, I'm going with Andre. I'm going with Atlanta. They're gonna crush them.
I like you.
Atlanta.
I like
you. Not even picking his own team.
No.
That's reverse jinx. That's that reverse jinx. Nobody's listening to that.
I was trying something different.
That's not for me. That's only for him. He's got to have the reverse jinx. Not me. I don't need the reverse jinx.
I'm hoping
right?
That's the case. I'm hoping that's the case.
We might turn that into a halftime. It might be awful.
We'll see. I wanted to fly out to Charlotte.
Well, the first
game
was entertaining, that's for sure.
You didn't drive.
I wanted to fly to Charlotte.
Drive.
Well, because I have an event on Saturday or Friday. It's the 11th. So I was trying to figure out how to make that work, man, because I just didn't want to. I know it's like it's 3 hours and 45 minutes. I've done the drive so many times, right? So, but I'm just trying to cut some time and figure out, you know, how that plays out. But Wakanda Forever comes out on Thursday. I got to figure this out, man. There's a lot of things happening, man. So, yeah. But I'm probably not gonna get a chance.
Or just get your ass up Friday morning and drive back.
No, I won't do that. me and Rob had a good one, and we've been. What time was my Uber? Like it was funny. Whenever and we'll get and leave. I think I don't want to wake Rob. I think I had my flight was at 5 something in the morning. I think I had an Uber at like 2:30. I don't want to wake up Rob. Rob was like, "Yes, you're on your own, man." I'm like, "All right." So we had like two back to back early.
Hey.
Like I was like,
"Yeah,
hey,
I told you." If you couldn't get an Uber, I would have took you.
I don't want to do that to you, man. Man, we had a fun time. I just didn't want to do that to you, man. So.
I got up at 2 something in the morning the day before. I flew out of Tallahassee. Matter of fact, JQ, I had the whole Florida A&M basketball team on the plane with me flying out of Tallahassee. They were flying to Oregon. They're in Oregon all this week. They play Oregon State, then they play in Portland, and then they play in Oregon. So they're staying out in Oregon this whole week, Florida A&M basketball team. So
not
I don't know
well.
How they made out last night, but I was on a plane on that leaving Tallahassee at 5 something in the morning on Saturday. So come Saturday Woo. Night to Sunday morning, I was wiped out. Getting up at 2 something in the morning.
That's how I felt.
And going to that
that's
Notre Dame
felt,
game,
yeah.
I was wiped out.
Yeah.
And then you flew back on Monday to go to the Monday night game versus the
went to New Orleans to go to the Monday night game, so you were getting some miles.
Yeah, left Chicago Sunday night to come to New Orleans.
I was like,
and now back in Tampa.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel, man. I don't want to keep getting up too early, man. I'm done, man. It's like 4 events this weekend. It was a crazy week, man. It was fun. It was definitely worth it, man. But
the thing about going to Charlotte, though, I get that, is that by the time you get up,
I can
drive to the airport, go to security, fly, come off, get off the plane, do it, you can just drove. Like, when something's 10 hours away, it makes sense. But someone's 3 hours away, when you have to get up and go to security and do all that, it ends up being really close to the same amount of time in terms of your body. That's you knew that information
got,
what you
see,
want.
I got a boy that lives in Chicago, Charlotte, so it's like pick me up, boom, boom. It's easier. Like, I don't have to do too much, you know. It's kind of like, but I get you. So.
Okay.
It would easy drive, drop, you know, blah, 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 say, you know. I get it. I've made that drive so many times, you know. So that's not, like, I think it's just a situation of, like, how tired I'll be and kind of the turnaround and not enjoying the moment. So, and I don't like having stuff on me whenever I have to do an event. I like to have a nice, clean, you know, whatever. So, but that's just me, and I've had that happen for the past. It was a eventful week. So, but I get you. Normally, it's an easy drive, but it was like we had a fun week. So, all good, gentlemen. I think we are ready to wrap this up. Again, thank you so much. Prayers for Curtis, as always. Hope that he's taken care of. All the good jazz.
It'll
be an eventful weekend, guys. So, yeah, we'll see how everything plays out. Have a great week. I know we got a lot of things to discuss going next week. We'll talk about World Series predictions, everything like that, and what's happening with Donovan Mitchell next week. Keep some topics for that for next week if you want to, Rob. So appreciate you guys as well. But have a great rest of your week, and I'm sure we'll be texting soon throughout the weekend. So enjoy, gentlemen. Okay?
Yep. Sounds good. Have a good one, fellas. Make sure you get those mugs over
you
to
get,
JQ,
get some
Dre.
I got him, man. Yep, I got to get his. I got his dress right. Last time. These are for you, JQ. You and the wifey, bro. We got you, man. And we need to have a picture of you drinking out of it too, man. That's what he's gonna make it even more
negative.
How about that?
No, my father-in-law is a Notre Dame fan. So they're going straight from my hands to his.
You're gonna re-gift it, huh? You're gonna get re-gifted, huh?
You gotta start liking the Catholics, man. We got to get you some Notre Dame paraphernalia and some Xavier gear in Cincinnati, too.
I got a little bonfire out there I'm trying to build. That'll be a good start for the first one. Go out there and set that shit on fire and get it going.
Gary, so Gary, check us out. So we were at the campus, and Rob was looking and said, see, I wonder if JQ would like this. Well, yeah, maybe. He's like, well, how come JQ hates all the Catholics? He hates Xavier?
I got my reasons.
It was hilarious. I wonder if Jakey would like this. I think he would like that. Oh, man.
You know,
it was
hilarious. I want to say something before we end the show. You know, JQ, you talked about your father, you know, how it was a, you know, rough time for you. I know exactly how you feel. My hearts and prayers are with you and your family. It will get – it never goes away, but it will get easier. But you'll never forget. And all those great memories, you know, are there for you to enjoy in your own time and in your own way. So I'm thankful about you always in that aspect. And I pray that you have peace. And I love you guys.
Man, I appreciate that, Gary. Thank you, man.
Yep.
Well said, Gary.
Yep.
Good job. Love you guys, man. Have a great rest of your week. We're here for you, man, for sure.
All
okay?
Right.
Appreciate it. I love you. Talk to you later.
Okay. All right.
Be good.
All right.
Yep.